Good morning, everyone. It is wonderful to be here before you. If you haven't turned to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15 yet, that's where we're going to start, if you'd like to be turning there. I'd like to thank the elders for the opportunity this morning to present to you what I have prepared. I'd also like to thank the congregation for an attentive ear, and thank our guests. You are our honored, our visitors. You are our honored guests. Excuse me. The allergies have gotten hold of me. The title of my lesson is Choices. In choosing this sermon topic this morning, It was kind of difficult. It was a lot to, not to play a word, it's hard to choose what to speak on. Been very blessed to be engaged in several lessons, and especially Wednesday and Sunday's class, and listening to God's word and applying godly wisdom. And like I said, it was very difficult, but little did Sister Lucy know, last Sunday she played the pivotal role or deciding vote on what my topic would be. You know, Sister Lucy gives out these little cards and encouraging words, and thank you for that. And last week she put out a lot of chocolate out there, and she said, you know, help yourself. She said, pick the one you like. And it was very difficult because I enjoy chocolate. But there was something on that note that got me to thinking and why I picked the candy that I picked. It was Almond Joy, by the way. And she started her card out by saying, every day we make choices. How true is that? You know, every day we do make choices. Some choices that we make are based on instinct. Some are on reaction. But all choices are based on some form or another of reasoning. We're gathered here this morning to worship God. We chose to be here. Some of our young may disagree and argue and say they didn't have a choice. But, you know, you did have a choice. You chose to obey your parents. We base our choices on reason. Reasoning, defined, is the action of thinking about something in a logical, sensible way. Through reasoning, we acquire knowledge, we apply understanding, we form a judgment, and we make a choice. Choices have consequences. It's the stone tossed in the calm water scenario. I'm sure you've heard of that. You've got the calm surface of the water, and then a stone splashes the water, and then ripples ensue, right? Well, those ripples expand out on the surface. Our choices have a ripple effect. It will affect those around our circle. In Deuteronomy, in our reading, thank you, brother, for reading this. I'd like to read it again, starting with verse 15. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. In that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, his statutes, and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. The inspired writer, Moses, was pleading with the people to love God and to keep his commandments. In a couple of verses before that, if you'll turn to me with me in verse 11, God's word says, "For this commandment which I command you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it." God's word, God's commandment, are not too mysterious, meaning they are not too difficult. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 10, Romans chapter 10, starting with verse 1. Romans 10, verse 1. See, God's word is not far from you, but is very near you. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law: the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way: do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." I look at verses 1 and 3 again. "Brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." See, Israel needs the gospel. "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." Israel has a zeal, has an enthusiastic attitude of themselves. So they're excited, but, as Scripture says, not according to knowledge. See, the proper application of reasoning is vital to our spiritual walk. We may allow emotion, we may allow anything but examining the facts to guide our choices that we make in life. We need to look at the facts and observe them through a spiritual lens. See, you and I have freedom of choice. God has made man with free will. Each of us has an opportunity and a responsibility to choose what to believe, and will make their choice, and many, unfortunately, will make their choice without having all the facts. Like Israel, we all need the gospel to be saved. Brothers and sisters, we have made our choice and obeyed the gospel. But what about our fellow man who has yet to know and understand and make a godly choice? Some are just like Israel. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. If you'll turn to Joshua chapter 24, Joshua 24, verse 14, Joshua 24, verse 14. God's word says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I must say that once we have obeyed the gospel, we must continue in his commandments, fearfully and serving him in sincerity and in truth. We must put away all the things that may cause us to stumble and sin. Will I stumble, miss the mark? Yeah, we will. But God's loving grace and mercy and the powerful saving blood of our Lord and Savior continues to cover us. If you'll turn to 1 John chapter 1, please. 1 John chapter 1. Starting with verse 5. 1 John chapter 1. This is the message, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Mankind's freedom to choose God and his commandments, or to ignore God, or even to deny God, is very apparent if we consider all the different belief systems that we see in the world today. Just to name a few, we have Bible believers, we have Muslims, we have Hinduism, Buddhism, atheists, agnostics, humanists, But Scripture rings true and is never changing. As we read in Joshua, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on this or on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Please turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, starting with verse 19. Matthew 28. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Now turn to Romans chapter 10. Should have told you, keep your finger on there. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Brothers and sisters, we need to share the gospel, as you know, with our fellow man. And it is our great commission to go into all the world. A plug for this coming Saturday. 9 a.m. Saturday morning is a perfect opportunity to share the gospel with our community. We're getting together. We are door knocking, and we invite everyone that can come, please come. Well, back to our lesson before our time catches us. I have a question. Just answer the question to yourself if you like. Excuse me. How does a teacher teach? Reasoning. How does a student learn? Reasoning. What are we teaching? And what are we to reason when we teach? Truth is the answer. See, truth exists whether we acknowledge it or not. And truth exists whether we accept it or not. And truth existed before we even acknowledged it. We can teach God's word. That's our standard, God's word. Not bringing our beliefs to the Bible, but taking our beliefs from the Bible. God's word instructs us on how to answer. We learned Wednesday during class about who the great revealer of wisdom and folly is. It's the tongue. By our words, we are either shown to be wise or shown to be foolish. We're in Proverbs chapter 10, verses 6 through 14. I believe where we're at on this. So, I encourage our guests, everyone, Wednesdays, 7 p.m., we can get together and we can reason God's word. It's a wonderful time. If you would please turn to Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." We can also teach and reason the truth of Jesus' sacrifice. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, First Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. We can teach and we can reason the truth of the Father's love. If you'll turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, we'll start with verse 7. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. If you drop down a couple of verses to verse 14, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. There are numerous other verses in God's word that tell us that God is love. See, love allows freedom of choice. I can't imagine a loving God who created us as intelligent beings, making us incapable of reasoning. God is love, as his word says. An unloving God, he would have programmed us only to do his commands. But no, as we read, God is love, and we do have freedom of choice. We can also teach the plan of salvation. The New Testament reveals that to be saved, man must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. See, faith is essential in pleasing God, Hebrews 11, 6. And faith cannot stand alone, James 2, verse 24. And it must be based on God's word, Romans 10, 17. See, it's not the faith that saves if it rests on someone or something that's other than the Bible. It is the faith that moves one to do what is required beyond believing. We must repent. We must turn away from a life of sin and then pursue God's righteousness. And I would say an intentional pursuit. It is essential to avoid Repentance is essential to avoid perishing. We read in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, and Jesus sums it up, and he says, unless you repent, you will perish. We must confess our sins in Christ. Confession with the mouth unto salvation, Romans 10:10. Then be baptized into Christ. That is immersion in water for the remission of sins. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. But that's not it. Then we must continue and live faithfully unto death. Revelation 2:10. See, there's one message, the gospel. Salvation to all men through the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. As there is but one God, one Savior, there is one plan. Life is full of choices. We come full circle. Some choices may seem insignificant. Choosing to obey the gospel, my friend, is the most important choice. I encourage you to choose today. If you've not obeyed the gospel and you want to learn more, there are capable brethren amongst us that are willing to reason with you. If you're ready to obey the gospel, here's water behind me. There might be among us, our brethren, that have obeyed the gospel and have missed the mark in their life or in need of prayer. I leave you with this. There is hope, but in Christ. Colossians 1:27. The lesson's yours. Will we all stand as we sing the invitation song?